And stand up because I can't see some of you, and I want to know if you're making bad faces at me. I want you to know I know who you are. When I really appreciate this program's been put on. I felt like, especially the first day, I heard some honest things said, and it's a little tough speaking. You know, you come here and you make some notes, you know, about what you want to say, and you have the false perception that you might have something original, and by the time you get to where I'm speaking, nothing of it's original. It's all done. It made me think about the old boy that, early days of the LDS church, his name was J. Golden Kimball, and they called him the swearing apostle, and he couldn't help himself. He was raised as a cowboy and a miner, and he had a little trouble swearing once in a while in his sermons, and they went down to this southern Utah town to give a talk, and he got up in that Saturday night session and he swore one time, and they went back to the hotel room, and his partner that was with him, he was packing up his bags. He says, "You've been warned, Brother Kimball. You cannot speak like that in the house of the Lord. I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm taking the train. I'm going on." He says, "Oh, Brother Jessup," he says, don't get upset with me. He says, "I can't help it." He said, "They just come out." He says, "And anyway, if I didn't swear once in a while, they wouldn't listen to me any more than they do you." So I might have to swear a little bit to hold your attention here. Sandhills operation in Nebraska, cow-calf stalker operation. We make our money by keeping the place stocked. That's really, we got to have live calves. We got to raise pounds of beef off the sun and sunshine that the Lord blesses and the rain that the Lord blesses us with. And we got to manage that range. That's how we make our money. Now, we want to do everything else because, you know, it's a low-margin business. We've got to do everything right. We can't ignore anything, including genetic improvement. But genetic improvement is slow. It's one of the slowest things. You just mentioned about feed efficiency, and that's one that, intuitively, that makes a lot of sense to study that because that efficiency pays every day. I can't guess the market right every day, but efficiency tends to pay every day as long as it's unrelated, like Dr. Carson's talking about. If it's truly unrelated to the other stuff, then that'll pay all the time. But let me give you a little idea, okay? So we want more efficient cows out there. Mike Goddard said we could move 0.2 and 0.4, we could double the speed if we could get these MBVs going of our genetic progress. We just got hit with a blizzard again the 1st of April and fine calves and drifts and everything else. And last year we got hit by blizzards, and so the weaning percentage chart looks like hell. There's one. And so what causes me to get to thinking, and so we're really talking about moving our calving date back 25 or 30 days. It changes the amount of feed that we feed. It cuts it into a third. Management. Now, if I have... You know now let me go in a little different vein. What we're really looking for, the reason we all gather here, the reason we're all doing what we're doing, is what we're all doing each day is seeking some truth. Pure, unadulterated truth. What is that? We want to know something, how it was in the past, how it is today, and we want to know how it's going to be in the future. That's the definition of truth. Y'all laughed when John said economists do a really good job of predicting the history. Well, the whole first day, that's all I heard. we're doing a really good job of predicting the history of this calf. It's no different than the market theory. I thought I was an underachiever because I did finance instead of instead of biological science. But it's the same thing. I learned early on, you don't trade the market with a model that has been fitted to the past. Because it'll change and it'll break you. Now, I realize that's a step to the future, and I don't have the answer to that, but what we're talking about is building a model that's fitted to the past that basically, from what I heard, was if you try it anywhere else, it doesn't work. So does that mean, think about the dollars that the companies and the research and the grants that we're spending on this research, and do we have to do that for each one of our operations? So let's say I did it for my operation and then I moved my calving date. Did I just change the environment? Did I just change the circumstances enough that what I'd learned before does not apply? Now, again, we got to start somewhere. We got to move forward. I applaud the efforts. I'm excited. I'm excited about what's happening. But we've got to have something that is robust, obviously. And that's what I mean, state the obvious. Something that will work. One of the other notes I made is, we need to spend as much time figuring out how we define the circumstances or the environment as we spend on the actual genome. Because we've figured out this. What did we make a mistake in the beef industry? The same mistake's been made. We put round steaks out there, made them look really nice in their package, didn't put any cooking instructions on it, and people would take it home, and half of them would throw it on the grill, and then others would cook it right, and we'd had completely different circumstances. That's what's going to happen with us right here if we don't have good instructions on how to use the data that's coming out. If we don't know how to use this, the RFI or whatever, and what circumstance it will work in, then we're going to have half the people having a bad experience, half the people having a good experience, and we can't make progress with just 50%. We've got to have everybody in the same. We've got to have everybody moving forward. The other thing I want to say is, do you believe? Do you really believe that we're going to make progress? Do you? Because I think that's a very honest question that we got to each ask ourselves. Do we really believe that we are going to make this better? If you don't, stop it. You're wasting resources. Do something you believe in. I personally believe we will. I believe we're going to make a difference. I believe we have to do this. But we have to believe. Your associates have to believe. We've got to have people that really, that you're not just doing it because it's your job. You've got to be doing it because it's the... You believe you're going to make something better. Do not just draw the paycheck. Because it's going to take all of that to get through what we need to get done. And with that, I'm going to, obviously there's none of that added that has a whole lot of significance, but I'm going to quit while I'm ahead.
That gives us time now to take some questions, and what we're going to do is we're going to leave these two up front, and if the question comes up that we want to throw to one of the scientists either from today or from yesterday, we'll call them out in the audience, but we're going to keep our focus. up here because we know that the hat in the room, and I'll just share a quick story with you. A week ago, I had the chance to sit in a room with all the Packers of this country, their senior management, and we asked them the question, because we're trying to figure it out in our organization, who do we represent and who should we serve? And I got to tell you, I was blown away with how quick the answer came and how short the meeting was. To a company, they said, you serve the producers of this country. You defend them with all you are, because without them, we're out of business. So we're going to keep the face on the industry who we serve right up here, and all of us who are in the allied side, we're going to stay out of the way, and you guys can pitch questions to them if you want to and use them as resources, but we're going to keep the focus on these two guys. So that said, we've had a great 2 days. We got about 15 minutes here to wrap up with the kind of questions that you guys want to ask, and if you don't ask them, I'll ask you. So this would be a good time to play audience participation before I start picking on people. Burning questions. We got some microphones in the room right back over here.
Yeah, a question for Mike Smith.